Dr. Chopra, do you watch what you eat in your family? Do you eat the right kinds of foods and things like that?
We do, and you know, we have simple principles like eat the 7 colors of the rainbow every day, enjoy 6 tastes, eat consciously, don't eat anything that comes from a can or has a label, buy fresh organic food. Most importantly, listen to your body.
Your body tells you a lot, doesn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Your body is a genius.
Some of the specific steps of awareness you wanted to talk with us about.
Yes. The things that I wanted to say is, how do you start to harness the power of coincidence? And in the book, Spontaneous Fulfillment of Desire, I talk about 7 steps to that and actually give people affirmations. But the first step is, how do you learn to see the universe as an extension of your own self, as your extended body, because it is. You know, the earth is your body. Your body is made out of recycled dust. The rivers and the waters are your body fluids. The trees are your lungs. The air is your breath. How do you start to have an intimate relationship and with your environment, with other people, with animals, with plants? So that's the first step that I teach in the book. The second is, how do you learn from the mirror of relationship? Because those that we are attracted to and those that we are repelled by are both projections of our own self. They're mirrors of our own self. We are attracted to those people in whom we find traits that we have but want more of.
Mm-hmm.
We are repelled by those people in whom we have traits that we deny in ourselves. We all have shadows, and if you don't have a shadow, then you must be standing in the darkness. So it is important to confront those shadows, to embrace those shadows, and to recognize that to have certain weaknesses is not to be flawed, but to be complete. So you're not judgmental about yourself, you're not judgmental about others as well, and when you have that absence of judgment, then you invite the flow of spirit or consciousness to participate in that synchronicity. The third step is to learn from your internal dialogue. If your internal dialogue comes from your ego, it's always seeking for approval, it is scared of criticism, it responds to flattery, it wants to control. On the other hand, if your internal dialogue is coming from your spirit or your soul, then it feels neither superior nor inferior. It is immune to flattery and to criticism. And there is no fear, because the fear comes from the ego. The fifth step is to learn how to go beyond emotional turbulence. Because as long as you have anger and resentment and grievances and hostility and fear and guilt and depression, you are going to overshadow the field of spirit, which connects everything with everything else. How do you learn to observe your own emotions? You know, there's a saying in Indian philosophy that the highest form of human intelligence is the ability to observe your emotions without manipulating them. How do you observe them? How do you label them? How do you express them? How do you share them? How do you celebrate the sharing? How do you release them through ritual? And how do you move on? That's the next step. And then the next step after that is, how do you embrace both the masculine and the feminine in your own being? Can you be a man and still have the qualities for appreciation of beauty and intuition and creativity and tenderness and affection and love and compassion? Can you be a woman and have the qualities of strength and decisiveness and you know, the ability to go and do things? It is the harmony of the masculine and the feminine that creates the synchronicity of the universe. So embrace the yin and the yang, the masculine and the feminine. In the book, I also deal with teaching people how to embrace their archetypal or higher energies, because all of us have a relationship with those archetypal energies. And, you know, they symbolically may be represented to us in the form of people that we admire, the heroes and the heroines of our life, mm-hmm. or of legend or mythology or religion. And I teach in the book how to invite those archetypes to express themselves through you. Invite Buddha, invite Jesus Christ, invite Mother Teresa to come and express themselves through you. And also in the book, I talk about how to actually begin to harness coincidences by paying attention to them, by asking yourself, what do they mean? By looking out for the answers in the form of encounters, relationships, events. These are all hints, you know, even if you close your eyes and just listen to all the sounds in your environment, then later on you'll see that you'll hear something that reminds you of your, of that sound. If you pick a color today and you notice it, later on you'll see that that color will start to be appearing more in your consciousness.
Yes.
And will relate to something that you're thinking about.
It's almost like when you buy a car, all of a sudden you see the same model everywhere.
Everywhere.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Mike. I'm from Redding, California.
Sure thing.
It's truly a great honor to speak with both of you. Mr. Chopra, besides being a great teacher and doctor and scientist, you're an amazingly evolved person. I've read a few of your books, and when I allow myself to use what I've learned, I do have better days. Sometimes it's not easy, but my question is regarding string theory. I've read Neil Walsh's books, and I think you're mentioned in Friendship with God as being, by the creator side of a dialogue, as being someone who understands the science and the spiritual side of kind of what we're doing here. But my question is, with science discovering, the physicists discovering string theory, do you think they're starting to actually discover God?
Well, yes. String theory brings us closer to the understanding of the unified field, which means unified field theorists have always said that all the forces of nature, like gravity, electromagnetism, the strong interaction which holds the nucleus of an atom together, and the weak interaction which is responsible for radioactive decay, that all these four forces of nature are actually a single force, a single field. And this field is not just a force field, it's a field of intelligence that orchestrates everything that happens in the universe, including our own thoughts, our electromagnetic impulses or photons. What string theory is saying is that, in fact, not only these forces, these subatomic particles and these forces are actually vibrations of a unidimensional string, and those vibrations of that unidimensional string, depending on the frequency of vibration, create different subatomic particles and the whole fabric of space-time, matter, energy, and information. So that a single field of consciousness, a single field of intelligence, by vibrating at different frequencies, creates all the forms and phenomena of existence, all the observers, all the different forms of observation, and all that is observed. So string theory is bringing us closer to the mind of God. Now, one principle, though, in physics is what we call the principle of uncertainty, which was originally described by Heisenberg, who said that you cannot know the reality as a wave and a particle at the same time. You cannot know the speed and the momentum or the position of a particle at the same time. So either it's a wave or a particle, depending on the way you set up the experiment. And it has nothing to do with your ability, it has to do with the laws of physics. The laws of physics preclude you from knowing the ultimate reality. And so, too, there are many other kinds of uncertainty. There are irrational numbers like pi, which have endless decimal points. There are irrational numbers like the square root of minus 31, which you cannot conceptualize. And yet you have to use these irrational numbers to make calculations. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to compute anything. But the fact that you use these irrational numbers actually is another evidence of the uncertainty at that field. In other words, what I'm getting to is Science will bring us close to God, but never quite there. The luminous mystery always remains the luminous mystery. And in fact, as we know more, we begin to understand that there is much more unknown that we don't know. And in fact, there's a whole segment that we don't know that we don't know. So although science brings us close to God, ultimately, you have to surrender and you have to say, at some point, you know, the mystery is such that God has precluded us from knowing it totally intellectually.
Deepak, you mentioned that your family and you eat the colors of the rainbow, the food representing the colors of the rainbow every day. Why?
Yes,
why?
The
why
reason that, you know, if you examine the colors in natural foods, the colors give a certain energy of the sun, and this energy of the sun, the seven colors of the rainbow, constitute what we call the phytochemicals. Phyto means derived from light, and chemicals, of course, are chemicals. So the phytochemicals contain all the essential nutrients, like, for example, lycopenes give the color red to say, tomatoes. And now lycopenes are being used for treatment of prostate cancer and development of, and in also in many other gonadal cancers, ovarian cancer. If you look at blue of cranberries, berries, all the different fruits with different colors, and all the different vegetables with different colors, and all the different spices with different colors, you add them all up, there's nothing that's left out as a nutrient.
East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
This is Eric in Columbia, Maryland.
Welcome to the program, Eric.
Thank you very much. Again, I have to also say it's a great honor to speak with both of you two.
Thank you.
My question is kind of a follow-up question, actually, to George was asking you about demonic possession not too long ago. And it's also, this kind of ties into the example you gave about the kangaroo bone with
right.
the shaman in Australia.
Right.
Which actually, I don't know if you know, that procedure was made illegal by the Australian government.
It was, yes.
Not too long ago.
Yes, it was.
But my question is, it has to do with your own, your personal worldview, your understanding of the cosmos.
Yes.
Because there actually is, to me there's an important distinction with whether there actually are what you might call evil spirits.
Right.
Or, you know, entities that are malicious.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know in Ayurveda, isn't there like a branch that kind of deals with that? It deals with exorcism.
Yes.
It's Bhuta Vidya or something like that.
Right, Bhuta Vidya.
And my question is, do you personally believe that there are external influences that,
you know,
might have something
you know,
to do with
it? My view is much more in the Vedantic tradition, which says that the entire world is a projection of your own consciousness.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, all these external beings are actually symbolic representations of a part of your own self, so that ultimately there's nothing outside as an influence. It's all a total projection. The world is a projection of all the elements and forces within you that are co-creating the environment. So, you know, you and I may be in exactly the same situation, but we will have a different interpretation of it, and therefore it will be experienced as a different reality to us.
Do you think the individual, Deepak, manifests these spirits by themselves?
Well, the individual and the context in which the individual is. You see, you cannot totally exclude the collective consciousness around the individual, because the individual is also a product of that collective consciousness.
Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George, it's Mike in Toledo.
Hi, Mike.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you.
Couple quick ones. Dr. Chopra, again, it's an honor. Most of it, or a lot of us out here, have intractable pain. For example, I had degenerative disc disease, have had it for 4 years, and spondylitis. And I'm wondering if, first of all, if you know, is there a way that we can learn to control that pain without narcotics? And as a corollary, why are doctors today so, when you have empirical evidence of pathology, reluctant to prescribe medications like that, number one? Number two, what is your perspective on objective reality? Do you think that there is objective reality, or is it subjective? Lastly, there's a lot of talk about the veil becoming thinner between this world and the next. I wonder what your perspective is on that. I'll hang up, and thank you, George.
Okay, thank you.
Well, there are lots of questions. First of all, pain. Pain can be dealt with through meditation, through biofeedback, through acupuncture, through various kinds of massage procedures, through sensory modulation. There are many ways to stimulate your own endorphins or internal narcotics or opiates. And more ways are being recognized. Even music can be used to cause the release of certain kinds of opiates, which will cause amazing types of pain relief. Doctors are beginning to understand that we have an internal pharmacy, and that, in fact, this internal pharmacy makes wonder drugs. It makes immunomodulators, it makes antibodies, it makes opiates, you name it, the body can make it in the right dose at the right time for the right organ. There are no side effects, and all the instructions are there in the packaging, which is your own soul, yourself. So doctors are learning this, and we should, you know, we should give them a little bit of more time, and they will certainly, you will see that this will become part of mainstream medicine.
But it's not to say if for some reason your physician has recommended that you take a blood pressure pill,
absolutely,
that you don't get off that. No.
There's no substitute for good medical advice, standard medical advice. Everything I'm saying is an integration and complementary approach that helps standard medicine. We should also know, though, that sometimes, you know, 80% of the population in the United States swallows in medically prescribed chemical every 24 hours, and that may be overdoing it.
Sure, bit, absolutely.
Know? So, and then he asked about subjective and objective reality.
And the
answer is all reality is subjective. It's created in your brain. And it depends on how you interpret it. You know, that without you, consciousness, interpreting a radically ambiguous and ceaselessly flowing soup, the universe would remain unmanifested. So the whole basis of modern science, that there's a world out there independent of us, is not really tenable.
Our guest tonight, of course, Deepak Chopra. You've seen him and have read some of his books. He's got lots of them out. How many books have you written?
Close to 40 now.
40. Good for you.
This is my most exciting.
The Spontaneous Fulfillment of Desire, Harnessing the Infinite Power of Coincidence. And we got one more hour of your phone calls and Dr. Chopra. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Would you pay 15 cents to hear this show in its entirety? That's the daily charge for StreamLink. Sign up at www.coasttocoastam.com.